This is Joe Ferrillo, and welcome to the weekly sermon from Amwell Church of the Brethren. We are located at 40 Sandbrook Headquarters Road in Surgeonsville, New Jersey.
This week's message is presented by Pastor Bob DeSalvio and is entitled, God's Promise of Joy.
So, as you look around, how much joy do you see on people's faces these days? Not much. You look on television, people are frowning. You look at politicians getting up to make speeches and they're angry. I don't know what they're angry about, but they're angry. We don't see a lot of smiling, joyful faces. True, a lot of faces are covered with the mask, but isn't it also true? And haven't you seen it? When somebody's smiling under that mask, you can see it in their eyes. It's a wonderful thing. And smiling and joy are the ordinary circumstances and life of the believer. A lot of times you say, well, I've got nothing to smile about. Oh, have you counted your blessings? Sometimes we get just focused in on what's wrong and we divert our eyes away from what's right. We think about our problems instead of God's promises, and we begin to go down that spiraling tunnel of despair. But I want to tell you, God's made a promise to every believer that we can have his joy. So I'd like to begin my message this morning that's titled God's Promise of Joy with a narrative that's titled Sorrow. That's some way to begin a message about joy. I want you to have a listening ear and see if you can imagine who it is that has written this article titled Sorrow. It's a historic person. Here's what he writes. Oh, I gave half of it away. Here's what he writes. In this sad world of ours, sorrow comes to all, and it often comes with bitter agony. Perfect relief is not possible, except with time. You cannot now believe that you will ever feel better, but this is not true. You are sure to be happy again because of what God promises. Knowing this, truly believing it, will make you less miserable now. I've had enough experience to make this statement. Want to take a guess? Abraham Lincoln. And did he not have enough sorrow and enough despair in his life? But still, he clung to God's joy. Life, with all its many ups and downs, seems a challenge to the very idea that there is a joy so amazing that it can overcome any circumstance. But God promises it. Here's what he says in 1 Peter 1:8, to give you joy unspeakable and full of glory. This is a promise. Our text this morning demonstrates what that promise looks like. Habakkuk 3, 17 and 18, Old Testament book. Here's what it says in verses 17 and 18. Now listen and say, how does this work? Although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall fruit be in its vines, the labor of the olive shall fail, and the fields shall yield no meat. The flock shall be cut off from the fold, and there shall be no herd in the stalls. Verse 18, yet I will rejoice in the Lord, I will joy in the God of my salvation. I'm going to go into that. Joy can be defined as an emotion evoked by well-being, success, or good fortune. Delight. What was the good news in what I just read? How can you have a feeling of well-being when everything is collapsing around you? Habakkuk is describing where he lives at the time. He's living in an agrarian culture. It's an agrarian economy. Everything depends on what's happening out in the field. If you've got sheep out there, if you've got vines out there, if you've got fruit trees out there, if you've planted vegetables, it all depends on what's happening in the field, whether you'll eat or you won't. He describes a time in which all the components of that economy have failed. Not the stock market, unless the stock you're talking about is cows or sheep. Despite the crisis going on all around him, he still has his joy. He still has a positive attitude. He can still smile, and he still has hope. Let's take this joy to the extreme test. James Guthrie was a Scottish Christian. He went to the scaffold because of his faith in Christ. In telling his story, Jack Purvis, in his book, Fair Sunshine, writes, quote, James Guthrie ever kept, through his busy life, his own personal fellowship with Christ in the fresh, joyous blooming of his new birth, as if he had just been a young convert. For him, every day was just like the day he got saved. He was filled with enthusiasm. Walking about 4 a.m. on the day he was to be executed, Guthrie spent time in personal worship and was asked by his friend James Cowie how he felt. Quote, very well. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Can you imagine yourself doing that? Just think of some of the trials and tribulations you're going through, have been through. Go back in your mind and realize those things afresh. You may have the memory of it, but you don't necessarily have the emotion of it. Think of all the emotions that were turned up inside of you when you were going through a very stressful situation, maybe a matter of life or death, or health or illness. Think about how you felt at that moment. Could you say, this is the day the Lord has made? I will rejoice and be glad in it. Well, you could. Habakkuk and Guthrie found the source of joy was their trust in the Lord, knowing no matter what the outcome, they, and I love this piece, they were locked in God's embrace, and he was never gonna let them go. When you were going through that time, God had his arms wrapped around you with a strong headlock, if you will, that you could never break. While you were worrying, God was working. His assurance defies our human nature. It pushes the envelope of our faith and trust in God and its promises. Can you have this joy, this deep-seated gladness, no matter what? Well, what do you say? Can you? How many say yes? How many say I'm not sure? The answer is yes, as far as I'm concerned, and that's what I want to teach you this morning. I'd like to submit six reasons for my answer. Number one, the seeds of joy have been planted in you. It's in there. My mother, when she used to cook, she used to throw everything into the pot. If she was making a stew, there was everything in there. Not a shoe, but just about everything else you could imagine. She would say, if you want it, if you want to look for it, it's got to be in there. And so she would put everything and make that thing real tasty. Everything that you need to have that joy is in you already because you've got the Holy Spirit living in you. He's taken up residence in you. And when you ask Christ to forgive you of your sin, when you asked him to come into your heart, when you told him you trusted Jesus who died in the grave, was buried and rose again, when you put your trust in Jesus and you asked forgiveness and you repented from your sins and you asked the Holy Spirit to come inside, the Holy Spirit took up residence inside you. And when he came with gifts. He came with the fruit of the Spirit found in Galatians 5, 22 and 23. Here's the list. Love. You've got a reservoir of love inside of you ready to be opened and flood. Joy is in there. Peace is in there. Patience, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and self-control. It's all packed into you already, ready to be released. It's like having a checking account with $1 million in it, and you never draw a check on it. What's wrong with you? That $1 million is to be used, is to be spent, is to be invested, is to be given away. But it's sitting there doing nothing, and you're never going in. You have all of these fruit inside of you. When will you tap that reservoir that God's given you to make your love deeper and stronger, to give you joy that passes all understanding, to give you kindness and patience and gentleness and all these good things, to increase your faith? You've got to claim those. The seed of potential has been planted that will one day bear fruit, and now the work begins. Joy is not in things. Joy is in us. Joy is not in things. Look at all the times people have to throw. Hey, we know that because we were here for a couple of days seeing what was in the back here in this, what is it called again? The rummage sale. And there was a lot of rummage. I didn't see any rum, but there was rummage. And there was so much stuff that people just couldn't wait to get rid of. And I can imagine the day when they went out and got it. Oh, I need this desperately. And I was sitting back here for 10 cents. Joy is not in things, it's in us. That joy can only be stolen from you if you have unconfessed sin in your heart. David said, "Restore to me, Lord, the joy of my salvation." Number two, you must claim your joy. If it's in there, you got to claim it. You got to write out the check and make a withdrawal. Christian author Vance Havner said, "The church suffers today from a saddening lack of old-fashioned, simple-hearted, overflowing Christian joy." That's true. Where is that sense of joy in your heart and my heart? Is it bubbling over? Is it effervescing when people come in contact with us and they look upon us? What do they see? Is your smile there? Is your countenance aglow? Are you burdened over? Are you buried under? Are you overwhelmed? Are you intimidated? Proverbs 15:23, "A man hath joy by the answer of his mouth." What you say and how you say it, and that smile that comes on those lips, claim your joy. Exclaim your joy. Remember that little song we used to sing? If you're happy and you know it. You had to do something, right? If you're happy and you know it, clap your hands, stomp your feet, say amen. Let it rip. Number three, the secret of Christian joy is found in Jesus and following him. John 20, verses 19 and 20. "Then the same day at evening began the first day of the week. When the doors were shut, the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews. Came Jesus and stood in the midst and said unto them, Peace be unto you." He's always bringing gifts. This one was peace. Verse 20. "And when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord." Here they were in this room. Jesus has been crucified. They were leaderless. They were absolutely sure that Rome had accomplished its objectives, that the Pharisees and the Sadducees had done what they set out to do. They did Jesus in, and now the story of Jesus was over. They were seeing it as a punctuation mark, a period rather than a comma. Period is the end. A comma is there's more. And as Paul Harvey would say, if he was still around, and the rest of the story, Jesus rose from the grave in 3 days. And now here he was. These guys are scared. Their knees are knocking. Their sandals are filled with fear. And here comes Jesus. And then the disciples became joyful. They were sad. They were depressed. And now because they saw him, they were filled with joy and gladness. When you think you're overwhelmed, when you think you will be crushed, when you think you see disaster coming at you from every corner, turn your eyes upon Jesus. Amen? What are you thinking about in those times? You're thinking about your woe. You're thinking about your fears. You're thinking about the giant that's standing in front of you, ready to kill you. Well, how about leaving it up to Jesus? The song says, "Turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in light of his glory and grace." He's here to help you. The Holy Spirit's in here to help you get through stuff. Not necessarily see the stuff disappear, but help you to get through it. Number four, the nurturing soil for your joy is the Bible. Jeremiah 15:16, thy words were found, and I did eat them, and thy word was unto me the joy and the rejoicing of mine heart. For I am called by thy name, O Lord, God of hosts. Here are seven verses about God's promises of joy for you from the scripture. Nehemiah 8:10, the joy of the Lord is my strength. When you're going through stress, when you're going through some very difficult times, one of the first things that gets drained from you is your strength, your sense that I can handle this. Well, that's not necessarily a bad thing, because there's someone waiting in the wings with more strength for you. The joy of the Lord is my strength. He will fortify you. He will strengthen you. When you think you've come to the end of your rope, there he is. When you think that you've come as far down as you could possibly be, in the lowest pit you could possibly fall into, guess who's at the bottom of the pit with you? Jesus. Remember Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Remember Daniel in the lion's den? Jesus was with him. Job 41:22, sorrow is turned into joy before him. And Job was really filled with sorrow. There were a lot of things going on in Job's life, more things than you and I could possibly ever handle. But his sorrow was turned to joy because he kept holding on to the joyful one. He kept holding on to Jesus. John 15:11, these things have I written unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. So when it's draining out, when all of your emotions are draining out, when everything that you're holding on to is draining out, if Jesus is with you, if you're hanging on to Jesus, if you're claiming the promises of joy, if you're looking to him for help, if you're looking to him for strength, guess what? He will deliver. How do I know? Because I've tried it. But firstly, I know because the Bible says so. If I'm believing his promises, that is part of the definition of faith. That I'm trusting and believing what he says. How many of you have trusted Jesus and found him to be able to deliver whatever it is that you needed at that particular moment? Raise your hand. Are you kidding? Are you serious? Do you mean it? You're the living testimony to what I'm preaching this morning. You're the ones that can tell someone else what it's like to have Jesus as your Savior and in your life, and what he means to you in times, not just of the good times, but in the hard times. Isaiah 65:14, behold, my servants shall sing for joy of heart. In other words, that you can actually open up your mouth. How many of you, when you've been down, turned on the Gaither gospel music and found yourself filled with joy? Yeah? Music fills us with joy. I mean, there was a difference between the hymn we sang and the praise hymn we sang. And I saw the two little girls up here moving right along, clapping their hands along with you. There's joy in music. That's why the church can sing. That's why the church must sing. And that's why you must sing. Open up your mouth and let it come out. I don't know if you realize that what you're seeing up here takes time to make happen. It doesn't happen overnight. The notes that have to go out so that Jane and others who are doing PowerPoint, Cindy and whoever else is involved with this, that goes out and they have to have it by a certain amount of time on a Friday. And they produce these wonderful images so that it adds to your understanding of the sermon. We have a sound system. Joe's doing a great job back there. We have a telephone ministry, which is what we're on right now. We have a website. People are managing it. We have a team working towards a streaming ministry where people could actually see the service going on. We've got all these things going on. We've got folks who come to the kitchen. We're going to have a meal here in the not too distant future. We've got a group of folks that do that. We've got trustees who take care of the building and deacons who are responsible to help with your spiritual needs. These are wonderful things. People can get negative. People can feel, oh, so many people should be doing more things. I'm grateful for the people who are doing what they're doing. And I encourage any of you who have a sense that you'd like to be more involved in ministry, one of the reasons you can have joy is because you're doing, because you're serving, because you're reaching beyond the pew and beyond your own ease. It's a wonderful thing. We have a circle of servants, which is our leadership. Many people involved there. But there are just two people I wanted to mention this morning. And I don't mean to fail to mention others. I also want to say that we've got Children's Church back there. And we've got VBS. And we've got a discipling ministry. We're on the radio. We've got a youth group, all of these things, and a street ministry. But the two individuals I wanted to bring up, one is a guy named Parker Waldron. Parker Waldron came here on his own. Yeah, some of you realize that our parking lot was damaged by the flood. There was a giant gash in it, and Parker, on his own volition and on his own, using his own equipment, came and started filling that in. And I think it's nice for us just to mention his name and thank him for that. Secondly, this is a very quiet ministry, but how many of you know that Nancy Schneider, who's not here this morning, has a ministry? Anybody know what it is? Well, here's a card. This one's from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, to Nancy Schneider. It's from a young lady named Emily Gazzero, whose grandmother was Helen Murata. And here's what she writes. Dear Amwell Church, thank you for always remembering me on my birthday. It makes me feel so loved. This church meant so much to my grandma, and it means so much to me and my family now. Thank you. God bless each member of this church. I have such wonderful memories coming here as a young child. So even when they're away, Nancy is still getting them. So we want to thank Nancy so very, very much for that. These ministries mean stuff. These people are so wonderful. I say this many, many times. I love you folks. You are so kind and so generous and so giving and so loving. And I, as your pastor, appreciate it. Number six, joy comes when we fully express that joy when we're in church. 2 John 12, having many things to write unto you, I would not write with paper and ink, but I trust to come to you and speak face to face that our joy may be filled. So here is Paul doing his missionary journeys, and guess what? He misses seeing people's face. He misses the hugs. He misses getting together with them. We miss getting together with some of you who are listening over the telephone, who go to this meeting house on a regular basis, but you're not here. And we want to encourage you to come on back. We appreciate you very much. There is joy that comes to every believer because joy has been planted in us. We're joyful because we know Christ is our Savior and Lord. We're joyful because of the promises that we can claim from the Bible. There is joy in serving others, and joy is a precious and rare gift free to any and all who will trust in Jesus Christ. And now I've got a closing story for you. It's a little bit lengthy, so please listen, and it'll encourage you. This comes from The Voice of Martyrs, a magazine. There's a book that was written by Todd Nettleton entitled When Faith is Forbidden. When Faith is Forbidden. So I'll begin to quote the story. Some people have a competitive fire that drives everything they do. My new friend, Iman, is one of those people. When he was a soldier fighting in the Iraq-Iran war, he told his commander to send him to the place where the fighting was the fiercest, where he could be a martyr for his country within 24 hours. When he became a thief, he was driven to be the best thief. He stole things other thieves had tried and failed to steal. When he was a drug addict, he wanted to be the best drug addict, using more drugs than anyone else was using. Sounds crazy to me. As a young man, he was involved in a car accident. The car was totaled, but he walked away without a scratch. He credited the spirit of his martyred brother who had died in the war. But once drug addiction sank its ugly, poisonous teeth into Imam's flesh, he didn't much care about anything. One night, high on drugs and flipping through channels, Iman came across a Christian satellite TV station. Someone said, "When I gave my heart to Jesus," Iman changed the channel. Christians are very strange people. To actually give their hearts to somebody, that's crazy. 10 days later, he was drunk and again flipping channels. He came across the same Christian channel. It was on the screen only a few seconds when he heard that phrase again. "When I gave my heart to Jesus," boom, he changed the channel. Again, he said, "Crazy Christians." One night, he was up on the roof of his house smoking crack. The drugs were almost gone, and he was feeling the weight of his misery. He realized he was powerless against the pull of the drugs because he had tried many times to break their hold and failed. In desperation, he looked up at the sky and said, "God, save me." save me from my addiction. He says, I expected to hear a voice or that I might see a light. I didn't. And then I was really disappointed. He got in bed, turned on the TV. Guess what? That same TV station came on, and there was somebody saying the same thing. When I gave my heart to Jesus, but this time, he didn't change the channel. And what he heard next made a difference in his life. He said, when I gave my heart to Jesus, he saved me. The person said, he saved me. And mom was suddenly glued to the TV. The person sharing his testimony on the screen had also been a drug addict, had also been hopeless. But looking at his face, Imam could see no sign of drugs. The man looked completely clean, and more importantly, he looked joyful. Then the pastor came on the screen and said to everyone watching, you can have the same healing, the same victory. Imam prayed again, repenting completely of every sin in his past, giving his whole heart to Jesus. When he opened his eyes, Imam sensed a power inside of him saying, it is finished. Your old life is finished, Imam. You are a new creation. He wanted to be the best soldier. Then he wanted to be the best thief. Then he wanted to be the best addict. Now he found Christ and his competitive nature turned in a new direction. He wanted to be the best witness for Jesus, the most loving and the most joyful. What's your desire? To be the best you could be, to be the most loving and the most joyful? You can be. You can have joy. This could be the day that the Lord has made. And regardless of what you're going through, you can rejoice and be glad. How do I know? Because God made a promise, and that promise was joy. Let's pray.
Audio files, CDs, and notes of our weekly services are available on our website, www.amwell.org, or by calling 609-397-4842 and ask for CDs by the title or by guest speaker. Please don't forget to leave your name, address, and phone number.